I know camp, Thursday, August 9th, morning meeting.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I think we should sing that song one more time. He's my Lord. There's no other one. Every other god, be it carved or molded, has no ears, has no eyes, has no ability to move, to touch our hearts and lives. He's my Lord. There is no other. He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of like my Lord. He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt about it, he's my Lord. We love this family of God, and it's such a pleasure to be with you for the second time in this camp. Somebody said, Brother Oldridge, many years ago, had said, they'd had such a wonderful moving of the Spirit of God. He said, it just doesn't get any better than this. And then it gets better. And it's always going to get better because we are growing, we are maturing, and we are entering into sonship, and we're talking about coming into His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And our goal this morning is to get into His presence. That's the goal. You know, if you want all of your burdens and your trials offloaded, just get into the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. And I love this family of God. This morning, I was sitting there thinking, somebody should open in prayer. And I was thinking about, well, who should that be? And I was thinking about the young people and so forth. And then I thought about Jamie. And then Brian comes and tells me that a sister had talked to him about Jamie opening up in a song, the Lord's Prayer. My One of my sons called me, or I called him on the way down here, and he said, "How do I know when God is speaking?" And I said, "One way that you can know is by the mouth of two or three witnesses." And that is why it's so important for us to come to camps, because we want to know that what God is speaking to our hearts, that it bears witness among us. When the Spirit of God is moving, it should be like, "Oh yeah, that, you know, I've just been thinking about that. I've just been thinking about that." We should be a constant, when we're walking in the Spirit, we're just going to be like that all the time. Praise the Lord. Jamie's going to pray now, and he's going to sing. Where is Jamie? There he is. He told us that he was going to have a short testimony. That was at Young People's, and he's a short guy. He says, "How can a short guy have a long testimony?" Well, we thank God that he's got a tall voice. Praise God. God bless you. Yesterday night, we had a wonderful service. And the Lord was touching many lives. Many People had prayer. And after that, I felt like it would be good to have testimonies. I had that on my heart, that there should be testimonies. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And Sister Mamie is going to give us a testimony of her experience and her walk with in the move of the Spirit. Where is Sister Mamie? Down there. Would you come up, please? You want to be hidden?
I guess it's all right.
You're getting into all kinds of excitement.
I actually don't know where to start.
Yeah. Father, we just pray for Sister Mamie that you would give her the unction of the Holy Spirit upon her, give her words to say, and Father, let them be anointed. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear. Many of us know about these things, but there are many of us, many young people and children that have no idea about the things that God has done in our midst, for which we give you thanks. Father, just bless our sister as she reminisces of her experiences. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kind of. I kind of felt like yesterday when they were talking to the young people, that I wanted to tell the young people that when I was young, I was a young person and I grew up in a town where there wasn't many young people. In fact, I was the only one there was some children, but that came to Sunday school. And the young people that were before me, so many of them had wandered away from the Lord. And I asked the Lord, to make it so that I would keep walking with him. I didn't want to wander away. So the Lord seemed to tell me, when I talked to him, he told me to go to church every time I had opportunity and to get in touch with him every day. When we talked just a few minutes ago, somebody said to get in touch with the Lord. And that's what I'd like to tell the young people, to make sure that when they walk with the Lord, that they get in touch with him every day, and that will help them along the way. The Lord was really good to me when I went to Regina when I was about 18 and worked there. And there was a brother by the name of Brother Sturdy came to Regina, and he brought the revival to the Regina, and went to those meetings, and that's how I come into the move of the Spirit. And then the Lord provided for me to go to Bible school in North Battleford, and that was such a wonderful experience. When I went to the first meetings I went to in North Battleford was at the Feast 1949, and I came into those buildings, and it seemed like everybody was praising the Lord from the back to the front, and we were at a great big long building. I don't know how to tell the wonderful things that God did in those meetings, how we sang in the Spirit, and it was so wonderful. I really don't know what to say. Would rather somebody ask questions. Anyway.
Does anyone have any questions they would like to ask?
Was that in the Tin Tabernacle?
No, it was in that a long building. It was out in front of when I went to Bible school, the buildings that are in at North Battleford right now were all in one big long building, and it was called the GIS building, and but this building was away from that. It was a great big long building, and that place was just packed. And this was 1949, and when I went in there, we started the service at 9:30 in the morning, and we carried on until midnight. They sent us home. We never even went for lunch. They served lunch, and they had the people that had children would take the children out to lunch. But most of the people wanted to keep their seats, and they... And the Spirit was moving that we didn't want to miss what He was doing. It was prophecy, and there was singing in the Spirit. There was absolutely marvelous. I just sat there and I thought, how did I so little got into such a wonderful moving of the Spirit? But was so wonderful, and there was the prophecies, and then there was teaching, and then there was singing, and then we just sang wonderful, wonderful Jesus, and so many of those old hymns, and we sang them over and over and over again, and just one thing after another. It was never somebody would get up and give a testimony, and every once in a while there'd be somebody that did something almost like out of order, and it was just so, it was like they wanted to show themselves off, and when you want to show yourself off, you'll never but when you just flow with the Spirit of the Lord, it just was so wonderful. Over these years, I've seen so many things, so many wonderful things. And the one thing that I have noticed, that when the Lord moves and uses a person better watch out, because after a little while, when the Lord uses them, pretty soon they pretty well think that they're doing pretty good. Then they become proud, and they think, oh, well, they have, and if they have authority, it just seemed like it would go to their head, and then the next thing you know that they would be telling people to do this and to do that. And you know, what God wants is for us to be servants and to serve and not to be lifted up. Because if he uses you, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But if a person gets lifted up and important in themselves, then they become nothing that God can't seem to use them. And this is the thing that I have noticed over the years, but I guess that wasn't what I was supposed to say. We were on benches.
All day long.
We never. I don't remember. Of course, I was a young person. It's a little different today, but I was a young person, and of course, I wouldn't notice. We sat. This building was a big building, but there happened to be a little bend in it, and a few of us young people sat in that little bend so that we kind of faced the whole group. But it was so wonderful. I just, you know, the moving of the Spirit is so wonderful. If people let go and let God have his way, that is what makes him wonderful. Yeah, that I can't remember that there were a particular events of that. I'm sure there were.
Well, being filled with the Spirit, I was just asking about that.
Right.
How often did they happen to you?
Actually, you know, brother, the communion that. It was a couple of years after. It was a year. I was in Bible school, and in February 1950, Brother Hunt taught us that. Instead of having grape juice, that we should have wine, and instead of having crackers, we should have unleavened bread. That was in February in 50, and from then on we started having communion. My husband George had rheumatic fever that winter, and he was very sick for about 6 weeks, and he went to church one night, and they, just after they had started serving communion, and somebody, a sister that was looking after the communion, she brought it so George could have communion. And he was immediately healed. And when we went to the doctor many years later, they said that he didn't have rheumatic fever. I said he was healed. And the doctor says, oh, yeah. But we knew that he really had rheumatic fever and that he was really healed.
Now, my mother said there was lots of fasting and prayer.
That's right.
And she said sometimes when the Spirit of the pastor said they're moved by the Spirit, or there's just no food.
No, there was food. There was food. Yeah, we used to have 2 days of fasting during the week of school, but there was food if you wanted to go to the dining hall. Yeah. Yeah. somebody else.
We heard about miracles and people being coming forward for healing and so forth, the gifts and the operation. How did that go?
Yeah. I actually can't say I saw physically, just sort of like today, we have lots of healings. We pray for people and we hear that they were healed, but the Lord doesn't seem to give us those miracles that, there was a few miracles. I know somebody was really healed. A little girl was healed, I heard down there, but, actually, I can't honestly say I saw immediate healing, but there was.
Did the brethren pray and prophesy over many people, like in the first camp meeting?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was a lot of prayer. I can remember they prophesied over a lot of people. Yeah.
Who were the brethren at that time?
Brother Hunt and Brother Houghton, and Brother Holt was a pastor in the Four Square Church, and I think by the time that I went to Bible school that he'd been put out of the church, but they still had another church that he was still pastor at. Well, we had some mats on the floor. We slept on in the schoolroom. They put mats out on all the floors, and we all slept in a big accommodation. It was not very luxurious. Today they might complain about North Battleford, but they should have been there. You know, even when we went to Bible school, they had us four in our room, the first part, because when they first moved us down to the, at first we were in accommodation and buildings on the ground, on the airport. See, they had, the buildings were still at the airport that first year I went to Bible school. That was in 49 and 50. And they were still at the airport. But when, but then they got the white dorm built enough so that we could go and sleep in there. And it was really primitive. We had curtains, we had sheets on the doors, and there was four to a room, and two bunk beds on each side, and we enjoyed it. We had a wonderful time. I think to myself, when everybody wants everything so plush and everything, you know, they don't. It was the thing that was wonderful was the spirit. We had a wonderful, loving spirit, and love flowed.
So basically, you had church 7 days a week.
We had services. We had this school morning, noon, morning and night. We had classes, and we had, and Mondays was wash day. We did the laundry and the rest of the people. I was on the laundry crew. but there was that was a day off to do whatever you wanted to do. If you wanted to go to town and buy something or something, you could. But that was basically what.
Running hot water.
Pardon me?
Could you tell us about when you and your husband were prayed over to receive your
Yes. That was after we were married in about 54. We were prayed over that we were going, at that time we were going to church in North Balfour, and Brother Houghton, and I can't remember who all, they prayed over us.
How about water baptism? Did they participate?
Water baptism wasn't really come in until the 70s, actually. They didn't. Brother Wiley brought water baptism to us. Yeah, each one of the brethren had a piece to play. Yeah, said we should. They did it. The Lord hadn't made it real to them, so they didn't do it. When the Lord makes it real, isn't it? Yeah, well, that was so wonderful. They would sing and sing. The whole family the whole church would just sing and sing and sing. And then sometimes somebody would sing a solo. One time I was in a meeting and they were singing, and somebody over here sang something like from the Songs of Solomon or something, and somebody on this side answered like a song of praise, a song of love, and a song, and it just came back and forth. It was just so wonderful. But a person has to move by the Spirit. The Lord just... Really, if a person moves by the Spirit, then...
Did you see a lot of people play instruments in the Spirit?
Sometimes. Sometimes somebody would go up to the piano and just play and play and play. There was a sister, can't even think of her name. She had a wonderful gift on the piano. And seemed to be able to play with the singing and the Spirit and all. I think Vanjie. Pardon me?
Elma Beckett played on the Spirit.
Elma Beckett.
Yeah.
Right.
Elma was one. Yeah. Songs, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, and I think He anointed all those songs. Anything we sang was, you just sang them in the Spirit. One thing, my husband was in Bible school the first year, and he said that before the revival started, that there was a burden of fasting and prayer that came upon the students, and it wasn't like you set yourself to do that, but the burden was there, and when they fasted and they prayed, and George said school started in October. And he said it was hard plugging. It was fasting and prayer, and it was just like there were work. There were the burden was there, but it was. And then he said it just broke in February. Just the Spirit began to flow, and the Lord said to take your shoes off your feet because the ground you're on is holy ground. He said that when the brother prophesied, he just stood there and he just prophesied, and then he sat down and he prophesied that about this move coming, and then he sat down and he said it was just like he was done in. But
were you in the classroom when those first prophecies?
No, I didn't come to Bible school till it was the third year that I came. There was
what about George?
George came the first year. Yeah, he told me a lot about if he was in Saskatoon too. To see the Lord began to move in Saskatoon, and then because they didn't really understand it. They didn't understand it because God seemed to take them to prayer all the time, and instead of getting their lessons done, they were in prayer, the denomination didn't quite understand. But George says the Lord was moving, and so the burden was there, and they just, it just seemed automatic that they would go to prayer.
How many people attended the Bible college?
When I went, there was about 140. I'm not sure. I think when George went, there was about 70. I'm not sure.
When did local churches start getting established after?
In the one winter, Brother Holt or Houghton brought a picture or talked. This is a picture in your mind about the church and how it would come, how he would set up elders and deacons and traveling ministries, and how he would set up the church. And when we were in Bible school, he taught us all this, and he laid out a pattern, and you know, the sad part of it is that Brother Houghton left it. You know, he laid it out there as clear as could be. The ministry that God gave him was just, he laid that pattern out so we could just see it as clear as could be. But the sad part of it was that this is why I feel so much how important it is if God uses you, how wonderful it is if he uses you. But if you think that you're pretty important because he uses you,
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, amen.
Anyway.
Could sing that song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Could stand. And I would like us, as we sing these songs, sing a few songs. Maybe there's someone here that could come up and share something that the Lord has done in their lives. I like God's math. He says, joy shared is doubled.
and sorrows shared are cut in half. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And only God can do that. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know for a minute. I'm going to read a scripture in 2 Corinthians 11. Sister Mamie talked about if we think we're something, God won't use us. I even think about that scripture in Isaiah 61 that says that the Spirit of the Lord is on us because He wants us to speak to those, to the meek. But Paul I'm thinking about our salvation, and I'm thinking about our testimony, and I'm thinking about our walk with God. And what I would love to see is a lot of stability. I'm not looking for a mamsy-pamsy walk with God. I believe God is looking for those people that are going to be solidly connected and in any conditions, walk with God. Not a circumstantial Christian, but a dedicated Christian. Somebody that's decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. There's only one way. This is like I'm a plumber, and there's only one way. And when we want things to go one way, we put a check valve in. Right?
Yeah.
The water flows that way, and when it wants to come back, there's a seal. It won't, can't come back. And I pray that there's a check valve in our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no turning back.
Amen.
We're going forward. The cross before us, the world behind us. No turning back. And there was some pride. You know, I'm of this tribe, and I'm pretty important in the placement. I love this family of God.
Amen.
You know, I'm not born into the right family to stand up here. as far as the natural is concerned.
Amen.
And come from a mess.
Amen.
But Paul here, he says, 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I'm speaking as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's a lot of stripes. 39 stripes, 5 times. And you know, you've got scars on your back. And here we go again. Am I on the wrong track? You could ask yourself that question. Did I make the wrong decision? We saw the prison. We saw that prison where Paul was in. Saints of God, we've got things pretty good. We're pretty soft. Oh, we can't go to camp. It's we don't have hot water. Our beds aren't comfortable. We need to have church in a building, because in a house, you know. I'll tell you one thing: if you're looking for God and you want the anointing, you're gonna go into an attic. You're gonna be in 110 degree weather. You're not going to worry about the circumstances. We're looking for some fervency. We're looking for some absolute. I have decided to follow Jesus. Where was I? Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I've been in the deep. In the journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Are we going to get offended? Make a different choice. Make a different choice. You can choose. We must choose. At camp, God was doing serious business among us. Very serious business. You know, God was not so interested in all kinds of healings. What He was interested in is getting rid of the stuff that is stopping us from entering the promised land. Envying, bitterness, strife, all kinds of things are in our hearts. God's cleaning house. The children of Israel in Egypt were circumcised. When they went into the wilderness, there was many children born, but none circumcised. There was not one child circumcised in the wilderness. But I can tell you that circumcision defines the flesh. And when they walked into the promised land, the first thing that happened before anything else, is they got circumcised. Because no flesh is going to enter into the kingdom of God. No flesh will enter the kingdom of God. We're going to have to leave that behind. And God spoke to us in prophecy. And he says there's a door open before us. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on what happened in 1948. But I can tell you that there's something happening in 2018. How about recording that and putting it in a book and saying, in 2018, the Lord talked to us about an open door. But this open door is not so exciting. Oh, it was a tremendous excitement to get out of Egypt. Amen? We're in bondage. We are toiling. We're slaves. And then Moses comes along, and isn't that wonderful? He's our hope. He's coming, and he's going to deliver us. And then things got hard. Just before it gets better, it gets harder. And that's where we're at. At one time, we could get away with a lot of things, but I tell you, those days are over. Yeah. We sang that song at camp while people were up front, to be like Jesus. Wonderful song. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. But God was talking about forgiveness. He was talking about, have you got aught against another? Get it straightened out. Don't talk about it. Do it. And I understand the opportunities to become bitter because my life has been affected in the last 3 years like never before. I've had trials and tribulations in my life that would stagger a lot of people. I've had times when you'd go to bed, it didn't matter what time, you couldn't sleep. And the time would come when you'd want to go and pray. And you'd get out of bed because you couldn't sleep. And you'd get on your knees and you'd pray. And there was a solid cast iron ceiling. You couldn't penetrate God. And then you get up and you say, that's not working. And you tell a few people about your dilemma. And there's people that said, I'm praying for you every day. When we can't pray, somebody else can pray. You may have the gift of faith, but you may need more faith from others to bolster up. And the time will come when God will put his hand on you and you will have faith that will move a mountain. You know, you may have discerning of spirits, but until God puts his hand on you and says, this is what it is, you haven't got anything more than anyone else does. If you have the word of wisdom, you are not a walking word of wisdom. You're not the encyclopedia. If God gives you something, you've got it. And if he doesn't, you don't. That's how simple it is. Everything we have is God, from God. We cannot bolster up anything. All we can do is yield ourselves, become a servant. And people get all excited about, you've got this position, that position. You're the boss. Yeah, I'm the boss. I'm the last guy to get paid. I'm the last guy. I'm the first guy in. I'm the last guy out. And You take the responsibility of absolutely everything. And if the customer and you think you've got you're the boss, you don't have to listen. And you've got every single customer you work for is your boss. Self-employment, awesome. Get to go to court. Get to defend yourself. Get to line the lawyer's pocket. Any lawyers in here? Help me. If I would have wanted to give up, I would have done that. But I'll tell you, without a vision, people perish. There is something much better in front of us. Saints of God, there's something much better. You know, the enemy of your soul, he is an absolute liar. And his full-time job is lying. He's also the accuser of the brethren. And he'll say, look at that guy. You know, the Old Testament had laws. We have laws. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. He strengthened the law. Jesus didn't do away with the law. He strengthened the law. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery in the Old Testament. Okay. Didn't do that. But in the New Testament, he says, if you look, you've already committed adultery. He says, thou shalt not kill. He says, if you hate your brother, you've killed. Have we killed? Do we hate our brother? The guy that took me very, very close to bankruptcy, only God protected me and saved me from that. Not me, us. God did that. You have so much power and authority in the realm of the Spirit that you, oh, I wish you could see into the realm of the Spirit. And I wish that you could see all the angels, you know, and the Scriptures talks about God's holy angels. There's wrong angels too. There's the angels that have actually made a decision to be disobedient. But they're a minority. One third. Two thirds. Two thirds good angels. One third bad angels. 2-1. It's a good ratio. The bankers love ratios. But God is asking us to love one another. God is asking us to encourage one another. God is looking for us to be fixed on our faith. I'm going to keep reading here a little bit. In weariness and painfulness, I am so tired of this circumstance I'm in. I'm in a business and I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to give it away. Nobody wants it. You know why? Because there's liabilities. Can't even get rid of it. I sometimes think about this young man, this ruler. He sold all that he had and gave it to the poor. I can't even sell it. I can't even give it away. Nobody wants it. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. In all these circumstances, he's still got one thing in mind, the church. Praise God. Oh, saints of God, let us move on. You know, the prophecy that we heard at camp said that there's a door in front of us, but that door is narrow and low, and none of that baggage that we have in our lives will fit through it. That's that circumcision in the promised land. And we can be in a much better place in the promised land. Obedience will never leave us. Obedience will always be a need in your life. Even when they entered the promised land, they needed to be obedient. God said, put the gold. Don't take the gold to yourself. When they took Jericho, he gave definite instruction. Don't take the gold. As you know, Achan took the gold, put it in his tent. That's disobedience. Was there a price to pay? What a wonderful experience to see these walls of Jericho just fall flat. God can do anything. Amen? God can do anything. We heard at these meetings that Jesus Christ made everything. If I've made something, I can fix it. And the thing is, he doesn't even have to have inventory of spare parts. He's a manufacturer. That's what happens when you're a creator. You can manufacture. Amen? Yes. And he doesn't need a factory. He has no overhead. He just does it. And whatever your needs are, he can look after it. So, this is going in a different direction than I thought. I'll just finish that story about Achan, who was the one that took the gold into his tent from Jericho. And the next city that they were supposed to defeat was Ai. They sent 2,000 to the... They went to view the land and they said, compared to Jericho, this is a non-issue. You see, in your life, God has done some tremendous things in your life. And you can say, well, you know, this was awesome. So this is just a small little thing here. You know, it might be a pimple. And it's a non-issue, you don't really need to, you know, be really spiritual, and you need God in everything. You need God in absolutely everything. And they look at the next city, Ai. Send a couple of thousand people. We got this covered. Guess what? What happened? several of their soldiers died. 35?
36.
36. Okay. 36 died. And they had to run for their life. Things weren't as easy as they anticipated. And that can happen in our life too. Wow. This was a bigger deal than I thought. Right? Amen. Bigger deal than I thought. You see, we cannot go with our natural man. Our natural man is going to get us off course each and every time. So what had to happen before they progressed? There had to be a cleansing. It's kind of sad the way this happened. The way this happened was that Joshua, he went to God, and God said, you know what God said to him? Why are you talking to me? See, there's a time to pray and there's a time to act. Does that make sense? Why are you praying? You've got sin in your camp. Deal with it. If I sound like I'm being hard on you, I tell you, I love you. I'm just talking to myself, okay? I'm just preaching to myself here. When there's sin in the camp, when there's issues in your life, don't pray about it more than you need to, unless you're asking God to set up the circumstances to get things in alignment. But you got to deal with things. You've got to deal with things. And he said, don't talk to me. Get this thing figured out. Get this thing dealt with. And it came down where they found out that it was Ai. And they lined up Achan. They lined up Achan, his wife, and his children. Does that sound a little cruel? I don't know if this is right or not, but I've got an idea. The brethren are going to correct me if I'm wrong, and that's good. But I think that his kids and his wife knew that he had gold in his tent. And when we know something, we are responsible. You cannot just be an onlooker and say, well, that's none of my bad, you know. Like, we are our brother's keeper, amen? We are our brother's keeper. It's up to us. We need to keep each other aligned. I love this family of God. I have been corrected. I will be corrected. My wife does most of it. How lucky am I?
Good job.
She's doing okay? I'll call that a compliment to my wife. Anyway, they lined them all up and they stoned them. And they died. You know, in today's world, you can't even spank your children. That's not scriptural. Discipline is important. It's important. We need the rod of correction. We need it. Every one of us, I have no idea where I'd be if I didn't have, if I wouldn't have had the rod of correction. And I need that. That's God's favor on you. God's doing us a favor. Hebrews talks about that. I don't think we're going to get to testimonies today. But Hebrews 12 talks about that. Yeah.
Joshua and all the Israel with them took Achan and his wife, his silver, his garments, his gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had.
Got rid of it. His animals, everything. They didn't divide them among themselves. Contamination. All gone. Don't mix with stuff. Don't get it mixed up. See, God is doing this in our hour. What a privilege we have of God loving us so much that he's not letting us get away with anything. What a wonderful God we serve. I love this because we're in it together. You know, some people want to be super spiritual and they say, you know, I want to be just ahead of the pack. Guess what? It ain't going to happen. You're fighting lots of wind. Otherwise, life's a breeze, you know? Oh, yeah. Boo. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Oh, well, where do you start? Verse 6. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. If you love your children, that's what's going to happen. You're going to chasten them a little bit. You're not going to let them get away with everything because it's not good for them. And let me tell you, I'm an employer. And whatever you don't do with your children, I have to do with it as a boss. I call myself an employer, but you know what? I'm really an adult daycare. Adult daycare. Whatever the parents haven't taught the children, the employer is going to have to. And I'll tell you, that's a little late. People learn a lot harder when they get older. So parents, do a good job. Don't let your kids get away with things. So quiet in here. Wow. If there used to be a child crying or making any kind of a noise or talking, I'd have to sit down. So I've come a long ways. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Some sons. If you want to be a son of God, you're in this number. We just read about Paul being scourged. So there's case in point. Why wouldn't it happen to us? And it will. And it is. Why does it say count it all joy when you fall into diverse situations, temptations? Count it all joy. You see, this is faith. When things are going well and you're happy and you're praising the Lord, that's all good. Everybody can have faith when things are going good. But who can rejoice and be glad and give thanks to God and have a song in their heart when you're in the valley? That's where the faith is tested. Peter says that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold or silver that perishes. Who wants faith? Who wanted faith before I talked? Nobody. I guess we'll never please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith that is not tested is not faith. Your faith is going to get tested. There's prayer this yesterday. Question, what gift do you have? The gift of faith. But this was a time when others have faith. There's times when you have faith and there's times when I have faith. And as we walk together, this is why we need each other. Because when I'm weak, you're strong. And when you're weak, I'm strong. I don't know if I said that twice or you know what I mean. But we need each other. We need each other. You know, the enemy of our soul would love nothing better. You know, I've said this at some weddings. He'll let you get. You know, if he was to throw away all his tools, some of his tools are like anger, bitterness, jealousy, and so on. The works of the flesh, tools of the devil. There's one tool he will not give up. You know what that is? The wedge. Dividing us. Psalms 133 says, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell in unity, for there he commands his blessing, even life forevermore. And I can tell you, who doesn't want that? You know, everybody's talking about eternal life. In my mind, when I look at Psalms 133 and I say life evermore, that means eternal life. Amen? Well, how do you get there? How good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell in unity. How are we doing there? Who wants eternal life? Get into unity. Get into unity. Make a different choice than you've made. Don't be offended. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. I'll tell you one thing. You want to get circumcised? This will do it. Yeah? Who cares about a stone and a sharp knife? You don't need a doctor or you don't need a surgeon. God Almighty is going to do this work. And He is. God is doing this work right now. This is way more important than getting healed, brothers and sisters. Physical healing. This is way more important than that. You know, God has His finger on this right now. He's saying, this is what I'm dealing with. And I'll tell you, it's really wonderful to know what God is doing in our lives. Wouldn't it be terrible if we, you know, like we think about that cloud and the pillar. You know, He had that in the, you know, what a wonderful thing to see this visible way of being led by the Spirit of God. When the pillar moves, I'm moving. Right? But I can tell you, it's as clear as that in your day, in this day and hour. God is not keeping it a secret what He wants us to do. He wants us to cleanse ourselves and be cleansed by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be loving one to another. And He wants us to get rid of everything that causes us to stumble. One person said, I want to be free. I've got this unforgiveness. She went to this person and she just went like that. I'm not forgiving. The person that went is free. You cannot tell the other person that they must forgive you in order for you to be happy. That it is not in the, that's not in this equation. When you fix it yourself, when you fix the thing that's in your life that's against somebody else, and you go and do your part, You are free. You're out of prison. Get out of jail free. You're out. Praise God. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. You see, that word endure, how many of you like that one? Don't we like microwaves? Can't this food heat up in 1 second? Brother was telling me about his trial that lasted 20 years. How long has yours been lasting? This is called enduring. God is doing a very thorough work because He loves you so much. He is very thorough. Very thorough. He will sweep every corner in your life. You think, wow, you know, I got rid of this big chunk, and then all of a sudden there's another one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Accept this thing in front of me. Right? Sometimes we can feel that way. You know, we can think, you know, that was wonderful back there, but I got this problem. The same God that solved that problem is going to solve this one in front of you. And that's why we need to hear from one another. It's going to be testimony today, but here I am, not letting you. But these services are not over. There's still room. And I would love nothing better than to hear from you what God is doing in your heart and life. I want to know. I want to rejoice with you. When you're struggling, I want to pray with you. I want to help you. We want to help each other. But we must endure chastening. God deals with us as with sons. These are not children. These are not kids. These are not immature people. He's going to deal with us as with sons. We are on a journey. We're growing up. Amen? Yeah. This is part of the process. But wow, you know, like, this is so huge, the thing that God has in front of us. This is better than 48. This is better than Azusa Street on Pentecost. This is better than that. Those were tools to get us here. You know, nobody cares about the tool when I come as a plumber, because their faucet is leaking and they're not saying, oh, isn't that wonderful that you have a basin wrench? Nobody cares that the doctor has a knife. What they want is the result at the end of the day to get their heart back pumping blood like it should. We're looking for the result, not the tool. And the gifts of the Spirit that we have, those are tools, but they are not the destination. They're just God's explanation of how you're going to function in the body of Christ. I love this family of God. But if ye be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. And a bastard is a person that has no father, fatherless. Don't you feel sorry for children that don't know who their father is? There's one thing that we all need, and that is love. We all need it. We all need it. If you want to pierce through the hardest person, just give love. I think it affected Paul when he saw the testimony in Acts chapter 7 of what was the brother's name there? Stephen. He saw Stephen's testimony. He's about ready to be stoned. Did he have mamsy-pamsy salvation? He gave the most powerful testimony that anybody could ever give and convicted people. And Paul's standing there with people's coats in his arm, watching this guy get stoned, and his face shone like an angel. And he said, "Hold this not to their account," just like Jesus Christ our Lord did. What a wonderful Savior we have. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. It says, "Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." I don't think that he's saying that that's fun. And I think if I asked fathers how many fathers love to spank their children, I don't think there would be many hands up here. Where was I? "For a few days they chastened us after their own pleasures, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." So that's the goal. Yes. To partake of His holiness. I can't think of a higher calling than what God has called us to here. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Is there an amen in the house? Amen. These are unpleasant things. "But grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." My desire is that we walk with God in the moment. It's wonderful that God did something 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20. What did God do for you yesterday? Last week? Several of you know that I took a car down on a trailer to where? Portland. And I had the car for sale for almost 2 years. And I put it up for a sale on a website that never stale dates. In other words, it never goes away until you sell it. So that appeals to my budget. And so I drive across the border, and I have a tow truck type truck that's bringing it through because he's more familiar with all the paperwork. And the border didn't like that. They thought I was doing something fishy. And so they drilled me for probably an hour. First one guy, and then he brought his boss, and then he drilled me, and very careful to make eye contact. And these guys have a way of making you wonder if you're even guilty or not guilty, or get you a little confused, you know. And then after this drilling, then you know, they wondered why I'd go through the border at a different place than the tow truck went through, and I gave them my reasons for that. My wife wanted to pick up some shopping stuff, and this was not going well at the border. So when I when they drilled me, they said, "Well, why are you going to Pinal?" Well, I says, "We have camp meetings there." "So what kind of camp meetings?" "Oh, Christian camp meetings." "Okay. So what kind of people meet there?" "Well, Christians." "Well, are you involved?" "What's the answer?" You know what I said? You see, you need wisdom and knowledge and discernment and all of these things on a daily basis. He's the I am. He is the now. He's in the present situation. He's not in heaven somewhere, you know, without ears. He's in your daily life. And I've got a problem. And I know who can solve them. You see, these are nice songs, aren't they? But they have substance to them. So, I said, we all have a part. I said, we are a body that believes in body ministry. He was thrilled. Not. So there, this is going really sideways on me here. You know, I don't think I've got the right answers. He says, you're taking away jobs from the U.S. I said, okay. He said, why didn't you just come and have the car on your trailer and just take it right down there? Because I said, I thought he needed to be a bonded carrier and he has the paperwork and I don't know about this stuff. Just seems fishy. You know? So, they said, well, we're going to have a meeting. You're taking away jobs, and we think that this car should be put on a truck, and a U.S. truck car hauler, and we should and it should be income for the U.S. He said, if you would have taken it through, you could have just taken it direct, and you know, we would have no problem. Okay, so, like, I am doing that. I'm taking... He just brought it across the border. I'm going to put it on my trailer, and then we're going to go there. So I'm doing exactly what you said. And that was okay. So he was talking on both sides, right? Maybe we'll have to send him this video. So they said they're going to have a meeting. And they did, and I went to sit down. These guys are really polite. Go sit there. And so I went and sat there, and then I spoke in tongues, and I asked the Lord to change these people's mindset. When he took me back into his office, he said, "You know, my boss got into a really good mood." That's a testimony, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not back there in 40. I need to know that God is walking with me now. Yes. And you know, that scripture in Romans 8, verse 28, and some of you I've told this to, it has a very interesting beginning. Some say, when you ask them about Romans 8:28, they say, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Is that right? But they forget that very first part there. And you know what that part is? Anybody know? For we know. And we know. Which is such a very important beginning to a very important scripture. And why is that important to me? It was important to me because I can go back on my life and see that's what God did back there. When David stood in front of Goliath, was this his first rodeo? You know what he said? The same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will do this. You see, we need some history. We need some history of walking with God and watching God do something in our lives. And then we can say, when we come to this Goliath at the border crossing, and I know, right? What God has done before for me, he will do again. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, he's not nearly finished. There is no hill, there is no mountain before you that he cannot level out. I'll tell you, he's done some tremendous things in your life. And you know, I would love to hear about them. Don't you just love to hear about the border crossing? Well, you know, Paul Harvey says it's now the rest of the story, and that's your story. And so maybe tonight you think about what all the wondrous things that God has done for you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all the things he's done for me, my heart cries, hallelujah, praise God. Well, he for saving me. Amen. He is still saving you. He is still saving you. Spirit, soul, and body. He's still working on us. Wonderful Jesus. So maybe we could sing this song, He Lives, He Lives, on page 53. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Isn't that wonderful? When he died, it's a good thing he didn't stay in the grave. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, is he always there? Amen. So maybe we could just stand, sing that song. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He never will despair. I know that.
the day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. Another is so loving, so good and kind. He lives. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives.
I wonder if Beckett is here. Beckett, could you come up with Pompa? Do you want to come up with me and we'll tell a story? I want to give a testimony, and I'll be here tonight, but I don't think Beckett will be. It could be his daddy giving the testimony better than me, maybe. Thanks for coming up, Beckett. How old are you?
4.5.
Okay, how old am I?
67.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll know all of your ages if you let him. He likes numbers. But Beckett, you had some friends. Yeah? Okay. Can we get you? Okay, we'll put our hands on here. That Beckett's 4, and he loves to ride his bicycle, right? And kind of an exciting thing happened. What did your daddy do with your bicycle?
Taped off my training wheels.
Did you hear that? He took off the training wheels. But before he took the training wheels off, were you kind of scared to ride the bike without them?
No.
You were okay?
Yeah.
Your dad doesn't know the truth then. Daddy said that you were riding your bicycle and the training wheels were still on, but they were up a little bit, and you were okay with that. But you didn't want them. Hi, Vera. But that Daddy shouldn't take the training wheels off. So Daddy took a... Are you distracted, people? Concentrate. So, Daddy, did you take a video of Beckett riding his bicycle with the training wheels lifted up a bit? And he didn't realize that he wasn't using them. And then did your daddy show you the video of you riding on your bicycle? And were the training wheels off the ground?
Yeah.
And so then you were okay? And Daddy took them off and then you rode your bike?
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? I think we're ready for God to take the training wheels off. We've actually been... You know, the children of Israel, when they took that Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River, they'd carried it many times. Those Kohathites, they were a member of the tribe of Levi. They'd carried that many, many times. But this is why they were in training for 40 years, is to go through the Jordan. And when Joshua said, "Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, I will do wondrous things among you," the training wheels were taken off. And I couldn't help but think how God's been loving us. The reason that Beckett allowed his daddy to take the training wheels off is you knew your daddy loved you. And you knew you'd be okay. And God's going to take us in. Yeah, we've been in training. The thing that'll get rid of your flesh, there's two things that'll get rid of our flesh. And that's the local church and your marriage. And your parents. But, you know, it's all love. And Brother Byron started the camp talking about how much love we have. We've been getting good at that. And it's helping us to let go and let the training wheels come off. And we might not feel we're ready, but I think God's showing us it's time. It's time. Praise His name. Thanks for coming out. Did you want to say something? Do you want to come out? Would you stand? God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb, there are valleys to cross, but before us we see an open door. What's before us? Amen. It's open. Praise His name. I'm so glad my grandchildren are so shy. it's a wonderful family, isn't it? We just enjoy one another so much. And let's pray. I'd like Brother Ashton, if you'd come up and just close the meeting in prayer.
Dear Jesus, Father, I just want to pray that you would go with us throughout the rest of this day, throughout the rest of this camp, and throughout the rest of the time we spend with you, Father. Yes. Father, I just want to pray that what we've learned today will carry through, and that it will make us better Christians, better people, better fathers, better sons, better wives, and just better people.
Yes, God.
Yes, Father, I just want to pray that you would bless the rest of this day, and thank you for everything you've given us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Are there announcements? Just be seated for a moment.
I just need a count for people who are not going to be here on Sunday morning for breakfast. Not. 30 of you, I guess. Okay, that's great. And some folks are still needing to submit some payment for the camp. If you find me at lunch or at supper tonight, I'd like to settle up and have that all cleared up today, if possible. So, thank you.